Chapter 1676, Bruce Wayne and the Secret Chamber, Part 2. And a greater difference lies between the styles of two spaces' magical realms, Strange timely interjected, interrupting a dialogue between a teacher and student filled with innuendos and hidden meanings. During this period, I've reviewed almost all the books in your space that record the history of the magical realm. I've noticed a strange phenomenon, regardless of who the recorder is, which era they belong to, or who their contractee is, they all tend to document every conversation they have with supernatural beings. Is there anything wrong with that? Zatanna spread her hands and said, "If sorcerers don't record it, what else can they record?" But the historical records of the magical realm in our space usually document every fight the sorcerers have. Strange lightly rested both hands on the armrest, stood up with a bit of force, and began pacing in front of the screen, attracting everyone's attention. What puzzles me is that sorcerers in your space seem to always follow rules that I find meaningless. The most incomprehensible part is their first reaction to speak with powerful beings when they encounter them. What's the point of that? Strange looked very confused, shook his head gently, and then said, "Do sorcerers expect these life forms to be completely different from humans, never human, and never able to understand humans? How could that ever work? Even if we're all human, various conflicts arise from differences in race, nationality, and upbringing. Fundamentally, humans can't truly understand each other. How could anyone want to seek recognition from demon gods?" What I find most incomprehensible is that your historical books most frequently record things like a certain sorcerer asked a certain powerful being for the answer to a certain question, but these questions have nothing to do with his personal interests or humanity's future. They're more like useless philosophical ponderings, such as where do humans come from and where are they going? "I have no intention of offending any philosopher present," Strange said, though he nodded apologetically towards Schiller's direction. "But asking an existence that isn't human about where humans are headed seems a bit too much. Frankly, any existence that doesn't belong to this group has no need or right to comment on our group's future development. Their so-called understanding is always speculative, not empathetic. Their opinions aren't important, and we don't need their lofty guidance. But for some reason, sorcerers in your space seem to care a lot about these issues. Extreme darkness, extreme light, the origin and destination of humans, the creation and destruction of the world. I can't categorically say that studying these is wrong. After all, someone has to care about them. But from my limited perspective, your space's magical realm probably hasn't developed to the point where researching these issues is a way to pass the time." "I understand what you're saying," Constantine took the wine glass from Bruce and said, "It's indeed absurd to start studying the origin of the world before even filling your stomach. But there are so many dreamers like this, perhaps they're influenced by angel and demon thinking. Yes, that's why I initially suggested that you need a barrier to prevent these forces from invading. But if the way of thinking doesn't change, even with a defense network, some stubborn-minded individuals will break through the solid fortress from within." "I agree with that point," Zatanna pouted, "if it weren't for those human traitors, we don't know how peaceful things would be now. Although it's not absolute, I still have to say that it's somewhat difficult to change the mindset of sorcerers who have already matured." Strange pursed his lips, showing a troubled expression. "If they insist they're doing it for the good of humans, it only makes us look like we're being unreasonable. Isn't that the very reason this school was established?" Pamela spoke in her usual slightly indifferent tone. "The previous generation is beyond saving. We can only focus on educating the next generation." "Yes, but I believe the next generation should have a backbone that shares similar viewpoints to mine." "You mean we should have a sorcerer supreme as well?" Constantine slightly furrowed his brows, and Strange modestly nodded, saying, "First, he must be a human supremacist. I know some of my viewpoints sound very radical and extreme, but sometimes you have to be extreme. A radical human racist is better than an appeasementist who sells out interests without any limits, right?" Constantine nodded slowly, reluctantly accepting this notion. Then Strange continued, "A philosophy that can lead the magical realm forward isn't about rebelling against something, but about knowing how to build something. That's why I say the trials aren't difficult enough. Perhaps these trials can teach them to fear no authority and not be swayed by conventional thinking, but at best, they only ignite their rebellious instincts without helping them understand what kind of magical realm they want to build. Rebellion might be the starting point for establishing an ideology, but if an ideology only has passionate rebellion without a more rational and objective creative component, the actions they lead are doomed to fail. After sorcerers know what they should rebel against, they should also know they need to create a world that leads humans to go faster and further. Schiller looked up at Strange, his thumb gently tracing the rim of his glass. When Strange turned his head to make eye contact, Schiller gently shook his head and said, "This is what I mean. You can never predict what will grow from the seed you planted. If you extend this branch a little further." Thus, sorcerers will base their happiness on the happiness of each individual in the prosperous human society they built and their joy in achieving development. They will embark on a path completely opposite to their own pursuit of endless knowledge and power, dedicating their lives to liberating each individual human's ability to seek knowledge and power. Strange spoke these words smoothly, then gazed at Schiller. Schiller raised his glass and waved it towards him. Constantine covered his forehead and said, "I must not be the first target of the Soviet Union people to be eliminated, right? Bruce?" Bruce was already taking notes, seemingly wanting to include this passage in Wayne College's motto, leaving Constantine to despairingly trim his cigar. From a philosophical perspective, this is almost the only way to deal with powerful individuals among humans who, after completing their self-cultivation, inevitably pursue an extreme sense of self-existence, Pamela evaluated impartially and objectively. That is, making them shift their attention from themselves to the group to prevent them from feeling they've lived long enough or never lived enough. "All right, friends, let's clarify our points a bit." Constantine extinguished his cigar, took a sip of wine, then looked up at Strange standing nearby and said, "Do you think any of these three children have the potential to become future sorcerer supremes?" "They just have more potential compared to others." Strange stood and took a sip of wine, standing straight with a relaxed expression. At least in terms of maintaining an elegant demeanor at all times, he truly deserved to be sorcerer supreme. "In fact, Stephen," Schiller addressed Strange by name for the first time. Strange turned his gaze towards him, adopting a posture of attentive listening, though his expression was essentially, "I'm curious to see what other flaws you can point out." "I completely understand. You want the future leaders of the magical realm in this space who will bear significant responsibilities to learn enough experience from your space, especially your approach to dealing with demon gods." Strange slightly raised his chin, modestly nodded, and patiently waited for Schiller's twist, despite his body language indicating, "No matter how many buts you throw at me, I'll always find my reason." "But have you considered that they might experience altitude sickness?" "Huh? I guess sorcerers are used to teleporting directly from sea level to the Himalayas peaks, right? Have you thought about the fact that not everyone has such extraordinary physical strength to make 5 or 6 round trips between sea level and the Himalaya summit in a day?" Strange opened his mouth wide. "What's going on here?" Harley struggled to get up from the ground but felt her legs give out halfway, and with a thud, she fell back down. Barry gasped for air, his face flushed, and said, "Why does it feel like someone has sucked all the oxygen out of this room?" "Bruce? Bruce? Are you sure we didn't fall into a trap?" Originally in a poor mental state due to hallucinations, Bruce now felt even more dizzy and disoriented. He struggled to support his body with his arms, but to no avail. He remained sprawled on the surface of a blanket, unable to rise. It turned out that the laws of physics are fair to everyone. It's not that teleporting from a space's flat ground to another space's Himalayan summit exempts one from severe altitude sickness. Given that the physical rules of both worlds are essentially the same, it's a matter of who comes and goes. "Oh my God! Who are you? How did you get into Sorcerer Supreme study?" A slightly sweet female voice echoed outside the room. A girl about 14 or 15 years old, dressed in traditional Indian attire, rushed in. "Wait, you can't be the new student Sorcerer Supreme said would come to school today, can you? Let me see, 2 boys and a girl, the girl is a bit older." "Oh my God, it really is you. What's wrong with you guys?" "We don't know. We're having trouble breathing, our heart rates are irregular, we're dizzy, and I feel a bit nauseous," Harley described her symptoms as accurately as possible. She glanced out the Zen Room window and said, "Don't tell me this place is above 4,000 meters in altitude. Much higher than that. This place is almost 6,000 meters above sea level now. Help. Wait, I'll go call Master Song. She knows how to handle this situation. Please hold on a little longer." After saying that, the girl hurriedly ran away, leaving the three children floundering on the ground like fish that have just been caught. Shortly after, Master Song, with her gray-white hair, rushed in and, along with a few other sorcerers, carried the three children to a bed in the lounge. Then, with a wave of her scepter, three magical bubbles enveloped their heads. "Seriously, I really should talk to Yao properly. How can his apprentice still be so reckless? Doesn't he know that severe altitude sickness can be fatal?" Strange's face immediately showed a panicked expression.